I say good evening to everyone. It's good to be here tonight as we come to study just a little bit of what God's Word has to say. On tonight, we're going to be talking from part six of Journeying with Jesus. And again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm just enjoying my studies with our Lord, learning more about Him and how He dealt with things and the things that He has said. I'll be honest, it's as if I first time I've ever read it. It's how fresh it is. It's amazing. Tonight, I want us to talk about the phrase, the law and the prophets. There are other phrases, the law or the prophets, or the prophets and the law. But we'll find it interesting, and we'll eventually get to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. But first, let me give you some preliminaries. You remember when the people of God were in Egyptian bondage and God delivered them from Egyptian bondage. The Bible teaches us in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13, Moses told the children of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God, the Bible teaches us in verse number 30, saved Israel that day. That day he saved them. And then when God gave them a law, Moses came up to the mount and stayed up there with the Lord 40 days, and God gave him law, and the people agreed that they were going to keep that law. Well, in Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 6, we find them agreeing to that, and in verse number 6, Moses takes blood and he sprinkles the law, the tablets, but he also sprinkles the people. Remember Jesus said that in Matthew 26, verse 26 through 29. This is my blood of the new covenant. Friends, you can't get away from blood. He sprinkled the law, the tablets. He sprinkled the people, thus consecrating them, sanctifying them, ratifying the law. When we consider the law, we think about the books from the Genesis to Deuteronomy, which is called the Torah. We know for a fact that those particular books are the first five books of the law. Moses, being a prophet of God, he was a prophet of God. I find that interesting, according to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15, that he was a prophet. As a matter of fact, it's in that prophecy that he is prophesying about the Christ, who would be like unto him. Peter would take that particular quote in Acts chapter 3 and apply it to that situation in verse 22 and 23. And means that they needed to listen to Jesus, because Moses was the one that told them they need to listen to Jesus. And if they didn't listen to Jesus, they would be cut off. To not listen to Jesus would be the same as not listening to Moses during his day. You'll be cut off. Moses being a lawgiver, Matthew 17:3. Jesus also being a lawgiver, Psalm 60 and verse number 7. Friends, they both needed to be listened to, and still Jesus needs to be listened to today. But also the prophets. The prophets began, really, technically, Abraham was a prophet. Isn't it interesting that God called Abraham a prophet? We notice that in Genesis 20 and verse number 7, but then we find Aaron also being a prophet. God even told Moses, Aaron, you're a prophet. Exodus 7 and verse 1. Now, the reason why I brought those two individuals out is because here you have a prophet before the law and a prophet after the law. God always had one that was going to bubble over for him, that was going to speak on his behalf. Not necessarily forth-telling, but telling. Telling, okay? When we stop and we consider the book of the Judges through Malachi. Now, technically, when we consider the prophets, the prophets went all the way to 2 Chronicles 24 and verse number 1. And Jesus would quote that in Matthew 23 and verse number 31, and 35 rather. And the reason why, because he would talk, begin at the righteous blood of Abel to the righteous blood of Zacharias. And really, that's the Old Testament summed up. The reason why we wanted to bring those up is because now we have some type of foundation of the law and the prophets. Now, that's just cursory. But here we find Jesus. Jesus, turn your Bibles to Galatians 4. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, we'll make a few comments off of these passages, and then we'll look at some other passages. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, for this reason, to redeem them that were under the law, in order that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus was born under the law for a reason. When we stop and we consider the law of Moses, the law of Moses was given to the Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew, Deuteronomy 5, verses 1 through 3. Yet the law of Moses had dominion over those who were under it. All right? Which means that the Gentiles, they were not under the law of Moses. Now, they could be proselyted in if they had that desire. But when we consider the law to Moses, you had to be born into that family and then taught the law, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. But the system that we're under today is totally different. One has to be taught the law and then born. So you have two different systems going on. There's a distinction there as well. But according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 10, a Jew was cursed if he did not keep the law. The prophets taught the law. Therefore, the law and the prophets, they were vitally important. As a matter of fact, when a Jew would consider going against the law of Moses, depending on the transgression, it could cost them their life. It could cost them their life. Well, remember, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, Jesus never committed a sin. Yet he became a curse for all mankind. But he never did anything wrong. Well, this is where we want to pick up in Matthew chapter 5. That's just a little bit of groundwork. I'm pretty sure that we could have exhausted other measures. But I wanted to lay that groundwork as it relates to now Jesus is on the scene. All right? And he is talking to these Galilean Jews. And notice what he says. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill or to finish up. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So when Jesus came, he did not come to destroy the law. He did not come to destroy the prophets. As a matter of fact, the law and the prophets spoke about him. All right. Let's discuss a few things considering the law and the prophets. And we want to look at just a few in their context. And I guarantee you, when you look at some of these, you'll be amazed on how this particular phrase is used in the context in which it was used in. Let's notice the first one. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. I want you to turn your Bibles there and then also turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And put a marker there. I'm going to go ahead and use both of my Bibles. That's why I brought them both, because I know for a fact that I was going to be using them. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Notice what the Bible here says. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive, and he that seeketh, find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, the operative phrase is good things. But what's the context? Well, if you read Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, you don't get the full picture. Now go to Luke 11. In the Luke 11, verses 1 through 13, verses 1 through 4, the disciples asked their Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. In verses 5 through 8, Jesus gives an illustration. Now, I really don't have time to go into this illustration, but the illustration is like this. When you consider a friend, wouldn't you want to do what's best for that friend? That's the illustration. Okay? You go and you read it with that in mind. Verses 9 through 12, questions of absurdity. All right? Questions of absurdity. Here we have pretty much the same language of Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Now, friends, this is Bible study right here. This is Bible study. But now look at verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, listen to this, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Now, Matthew 7, verse 11 is your phrase right there. God is going to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Now, this is very interesting. He's going to give them the Holy Spirit. Well, when was the Holy Spirit going to be given, Rick, on the day of Pentecost? Well, what should they be praying for? They should be praying for an understanding of God's will. When you consider this great text, friends, we know for a fact that God wanted his people to know his will. And the question we have to ask ourselves is do we know the will of Almighty God? Now, look at Matthew 11, verses 1 through 19. Now, I said all that to set this particular point up right here. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19, we see something here. We're not going to read all of this for time's sake. But notice verse number 10 and following. For this is he, talking about Elijah, John the Baptist, John the Immerser, of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now, look at Luke 16, 16. Luke 16, 16, we see that same phraseology. Luke 16, 16. The law and the prophets, talk about Moses' law, and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, it's interesting. The law and the prophets were unto John, but since that particular time, the kingdom of God is preached. But notice the context. The context is in John the Baptist being in prison. Well, should we look for, are you the coming one, or should we look for another? Well, we know that John was preaching for God. He knew that he was the forerunner of God. But here he's in prison, and something's going on in his mind that's causing him not to be clear or sure of where he was or with this particular situation. But here, the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, which means that at that particular time, now it's about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, not the law and the prophets. Now, I want to make a quick point here. Look at verse number 16, the latter part. Here you see that the kingdom of God is preached and every man is pressed into it. Pressed into it. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse number 12. I found this very interesting in my studies. And this is why paying close attention to words is so important. Notice this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, you read that face value and you think of something detrimental, something bad, something horrific. However, we see that Luke chapter 11 in verse number 16 actually gives clarity to that suffering violence. The Greek word for presseth is biazo. It literally means to crowd oneself, to be sought for with the most ardent, enthusiastic, passionate zeal, great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective, I'm sorry, and the intense exertion. Now think about that. Put that definition where suffered violence is. The kingdom of God that was going to be preached, not the law and the prophets, but the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. People are going to crowd themselves. They're trying to get in there with all of the energy that they have. But when you read the English, well, the kingdom of God suffered violence. It's like something bad is taking place. But actually, this is actually something good. And the law and the prophets were actually leading to that question. Have you ever met someone that their ardent zeal, their enthusiasm and excitement, they brought it to the Bible study? They couldn't wait to get into the church. I've met those type of people. And here, Jesus said that the law and the prophets were until John, which means that after John, or to the point of John, running up toward John, the law and the prophets would come to an end, and now you have a new system beginning, being preached, all right? So that's something to think about that I thought was very powerful, that Jesus was teaching. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. This phraseology is used in this context as well. It's interesting. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. For time's sake, we'll just look at a few passages. It deals with the greatest commandment. You remember that. Loving God, loving your neighbor. But notice verse number 40. On these two hang, notice, all the law and the prophets. I found it very, very interesting that this particular word is used in different ways. Now, friends, look at Galatians 3 real quick. In Galatians 3 and verse 13, Rick, you probably find this very interesting. Look at verse 13. And remember what Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Loving God, loving neighbor, loving people, loving God with everything that you have. In Galatians 3:13, Paul by inspiration would use this particular word, but he would use it literally. Literally, okay? This is why hermeneutics is so important. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Is that figurative or literal? That's literal. But Jesus uses this same word in Matthew 22 and verse number 40, figuratively. It's a metaphor. Why is that important? Because loving God and loving my neighbor as myself, he says the law and the prophets, everything hangs on that. It's not literal. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor that he's using. Now, let's think about this. Why would he say the law and the prophets, and all of these things hang on the law and the prophets? Because the law of Moses was about how one treated God and looked at God, and how one treated man and looked at man. But the law of Christ is that way too. How we see God and treat God, and how we see man and treat man. This is interesting that no wonder Jesus did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. Everything that the law and the prophets said, Jesus, he filled it full. He did it. No wonder his fame grew so much. No wonder he was a great man. And guess what? When we do God's will, when we keep his commandments, we are deemed great as well. Look at Luke 24. In Luke 24, verses 36 through 49. Again, we're not going to look at all of these. And truth be told, I wrote them down. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that I'm not going to even get to tonight. Friends, I know for a fact that God is not putting these in here just to be putting them in there. The law and the prophets. Jesus is using this language. On the road to Emmaus in verse number 27, notice when Jesus was expounding, he was expounding beginning at Moses and all of the prophets. That's the law and the prophets. But then verse 36 through 49 with the emphasis on verse 44. Now he's talking to his disciples. And notice as he is talking to them, giving them evidence, securing their hearts, ensuring their faith. And he said unto them in verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." That's interesting. Can you imagine knowing the book? Listen to this, friends. Can you imagine knowing the book so well that you could take someone beginning at the law and then work them through the prophets and bring them to Jesus Christ? Jesus did that on the road to Emmaus. He did that with his disciples. And I venture to say that that should be every teacher's goal as well. That should be our goal as well, is to be able to know the law of Moses and the prophets and bring people to Christ. Bring people to Christ. I'll be honest with you, that's a chore. It's not easy. But Jesus did that. Paul would do that in Acts chapter 24 and also in Acts chapter 28, verse 23. They came, he was on house arrest, and he demonstrated Christ being the person that he was, beginning at the law of Moses through the prophets. Guess what? We ought to be striving to do that too. That's a challenge. So some 15 times, I believe it is, in that area, the phrase the law and the prophets, or the law or the prophets and the law, is in the scriptures. And the more I saw that, the more I was telling myself, Mike, you need to become more familiar with that. And begin learning it and then test it. Now, think about this. I'll let you go after this. Can you imagine learning as much as you can about the prophecies of Christ in the kingdom and then purposely going and talking to people and saying, you know what, let me see if I really got this down. Hey, why don't you meet me tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Is that all right? Yeah. We're just going to go through the prophets and we're going to go through the law and we're going to see Christ. Do you think that people would have a greater faith in the Lord if they could see the Christ in the law and in the prophets? And then you bring them to the New Testament church and they say, hey, what must I do to be saved? I want to be baptized right now. Why? Because this is no pseudo faith. It's a real faith based upon real facts about a real man who came to bring a real salvation. I challenge you to go and you look at Acts 13:15, Acts 24:14, Romans 3:21, and one of my favorites is John 1:45, when Jesus was noticed by Philip when he went to Nathanael. And Philip said, "It's the one that the law of Moses and the prophets wrote about. He's here." Royce, can you imagine that? Can you imagine reading about this man, this Christ, this servant of God, this Savior of the world, and he's actually at your front step? The law of Moses and the prophets. Jesus would quote them, and Jesus would teach from them. I hope, pray, and trust that some of the things that we pointed out are helpful and something to think about. Because the more that we consider some of the things that Jesus taught, the greater our faith will become. Maybe you're not a child of God. You've been considering, you've been studying, you've been thinking about becoming a Christian. Well, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to turn away from sin. Be willing to confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. That's where you come in contact with the blood of Christ. God will wash away all of your sins and He'll add you to His Son's church, the Church of Christ. And they're faithful even to the point of death. And He'll give you the crown of life. But maybe you're a child of God. You need special prayer. Let us do that for you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.